Northridge, Los Angeles, KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo, a service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College, member-supported public radio. Voted Station of the Year by our peers in American Public Music Radio.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender-expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now. One of the greatest albums of all time, Cocteau Twins' Heaven or Las Vegas. That's Cherry Colored Funk and wishing their legendary vocalist Elizabeth Fraser very happy 60th birthday on Tuesday the 29th. Florence and the Machine going back to the debut Lungs for Rabbit Heart, Raise It Up, and Florence Welch is 37 on Monday. Many happy returns to her. And with that, I welcome you to She Rose Radio, my friends. I'm your host, Carmel Holt, and it's great to see you as always. For the next hour, we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation together. And this week, our featured interview is with Alicia Bognano, a.k.a. Bully. That's coming up in the second part of the show. Now, something new from Emily King. Her new album is called Special Occasion, and here's This Year.
Spent the year trying to get you to love me. Put your needs high up above me. All night talking on the telephone. Listening to you crying about being alone. Spent the summer trying to get you to care. Bought new jeans and grew my hair. Call me up when you wanted me around. But when I needed you, you could never be found. So this year's gonna be about me. Never will I have another reason to doubt me this year. All my miles to make a connection. Running around just to get to you. When I showed up, you had something to do. Met your mama and all your friends. Didn't know it was all pretend. Lifted you up, you were bringing me down. But this year's gonna turn them tables around. So this year's gonna be about me. Never will I have another reason to doubt me this year.
$0.80 on the dollar, and you need every day.
Sending birthday wishes to Lake Street Dives vocalist Rachel Price on Wednesday the 30th from their latest album, Obviously. That's Being a Woman. And if you missed my recent conversation with Rachel and Bridget Carney of Lake Street Dive, check that out in the archives at sheroseradio.com/episodes. I'm Carmel Holt, and stay with us. Our Sheroes Conversation of the Week is coming up next, featuring Alicia Bognano, a.k.a. Bully.
Download the SoCal Sound mobile app and listen wherever life takes you.
Hey, this is Nick Harcourt. You know, marketing your business or organization can be very tough in today's ad-saturated world. We're bombarded from all directions with advertising. Becoming a SoCal Sound sponsor or underwriter is a different proposition. Let us help your business message really stand out with a little class. Give us a call for more information. 818-677-7163. That's 818-677-7163.
LP brings the Lovelines North American Tour to YouTube Theater November 24th. And thanks to our friends at Live Nation, the SoCal Sound is giving away tickets. Current members can see contest rules and enter to be eligible to win a pair of tickets at thesocalsound.org. No purchase necessary. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. LP, YouTube Theater, November 24th.
From our open minds to your open ears, 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
You're listening to Sheroes, and I'm Carmel Holt. When you're an artist that's used to making records entirely yourself, the bravest thing you can do is open up to the possibilities of including others in that process, even relinquishing some of those duties to someone else. Alicia Bognano is a triple threat of an artist, an engineer, and a producer who records and performs under the name Bully. Now a decade and four albums in, her latest effort, Lucky For You, is her best yet, and marks a major shift in Alicia's career and her approach. The guitarist and songwriter worked with producer JT Daly and for the first time invited an outside voice to join her on a couple of tracks, Sophie Allison, a.k.a. Soccer Mommy. On top of that, she now has a supportive and trusted team, including her management and her label Sub Pop. And in our conversation today, you'll hear Alicia describe how all of this has added up to not only her best work to date, but an air of new excitement with lots of happy accidents and surprises, with a collective positive attitude of go big or go home, compounded by the newfound clarity and focus that sobriety has given her. I'm thrilled to welcome Alicia Bognano, Bully, as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Alicia Bognano, welcome to Shiro.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us everything about Lucky For You.
Oh my God. I mean, it would take me ages, but it's my favorite record so far, I think. With every record, I feel like I'm getting better at asking for help or letting somebody in. And this one, the guy who actually produced it lived like 5 minutes away, and it was just the two of us playing everything over the course of 7 months. And usually for me, it's like I'm in the studio and I'm there for 2.5 weeks and then the record is done. And so this process was very unfamiliar, but so many things happened in that time span that ended up kind of being the body of the record. And yeah, it was just so fun. We're both like big tone nerds and sound nerds. And I think we bonded in that way where we were just like, how can we fuck up sounds as much as possible? Like putting vocal mics through pedals, and there were like no limits. I played harmonica, which is so funny to me. Like, I don't play harmonica. It's hilarious. And it's just a new era for sure. I feel really good about it.
This must be a very, very special person. JT Daly is his name.
Yeah.
How did the two of you meet?
So we were tossing around names and I didn't know JT. I never met him. I haven't heard of him. And my managers knew him and they were like, he's great. He lives close to you. You should meet with him. Because I've always been really skeptical about collaborating in any way because it's just so personal and it's such a vulnerable place to be. And, you know, when I'm writing, it's just like me in my room. I thrive when I'm alone. I'm like a very big introvert, like to do everything myself, have always done it that way because I just have never expected anyone to do it for me. So I was very skeptical. I was like, I don't know about this dude. Fine, I'll meet with him. And then I met with him and he was just a genuine fan. And he had like been going to Bully shows and the big takeaway I got from it was he didn't want to like change my sound or change what I do. He was just like a fan and wanted to accentuate what he thought was best about it. And a lot of the things that I didn't really like about myself or like what I do with music, lots of times my voice cracking and stuff, he would be like, no, that's special. We're keeping it. And I just felt like I had a really good support system and advocate, and he knew exactly where I was coming from and was just like so cautious of not overpowering or dominating anything. And like I was saying before, we're both just big tone nerds, and it was like a very special relationship. I've never worked with anybody in that way. Towards halfway through, I remember having a conversation with him where I was like, can you believe I'm like trusting you? Like, can you believe I'm like taking any of your ideas in? He's like, no. And I was like, me either. Because normally I'm just like, silence all the noise. But he just totally proved himself. And he's like a gem of a person. A lot of stuff he does is in the pop world too. So this was like particularly fun for him because he had listened to the music and was a fan of it. So he just put so much time into it. And it was just a really incredible process and so different from anything that I had ever done.
Okay, let's go to music. I want to play a clip of one of these songs. Anything come to mind that either sees you stepping outside of your comfort zone because you felt like you had that support for the first time or maybe where you tried something new?
Oh, yeah. Hard to Love. I feel like the longer I do this, my biggest goal is to just push myself out of my comfort zone, still staying like authentic to what I'm doing and liking it and just seeing how I can evolve. This sounds so pretentious, but as an artist, but that is like what it's about for me. It's like, how much can I grow? What can I do? Because if I'm doing the same thing over and over again, there's no point for me. And so this one, I was particularly bringing in a lot of different instruments. I had an OP1 that I was using a lot, and I sat down to write Hard to Love as basically just a writing exercise. And I was like, I'm going to do everything different for this song than what I normally do just to kind of get moving and see what happens. And I wrote, I started on bass and then it was like all synths. I used this Earthquakers bit compressor pedal that made my guitar sound like a synth and just all these crazy noises. And I had like Butthole Surfers in the back of my head for some reason. I don't understand. But I wrote it and I was like, this is never coming out. Like, this is between me and my computer right now. And then I was sending over demos to JT because I wrote, you know, like over 20 songs. And so
wow,
he was like, well, first of all, my friend Brad was over, Brad Cook, who's incredible, and he produces.
Wait, he's a friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He was over at my house, and he was like, what have you been doing? And I played it for him, and I was like, there's this one, it's so stupid. Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. And he was like, you have to play it for me. And I played it for him, and he was like, you know that's sick, though, right? And I was like, no. And he was like, dude, that's, like, a good song. And I was like, no f-ing way.
Yes, Brad, yeah. He knows what's up.
And he is like, I couldn't think more highly of a person. Like, I just, him and Stella, his wife, they're just very special to me. I've like stayed with them before and he's really incredible to me. But he said that and I was kind of like, huh, interesting. And then I included it in the demos that I sent to JT and JT was like, we're doing this song. And I was like, no way. And he was like, yeah, we are. And we like reworked it and made it sound a little different and kind of like saw it through. And then I was sitting on it and I was like, dude, I'm not releasing this. Like, no way. And he's like, it's so cool. And he sent it to my management and Sub Pop and everyone was like, yes, Hard to Love. And I was like, I'm not sure.
It's just crazy
how it works.
Feel things are
Hard to Love. Lucky for You is the new one from Bully. She's our guest today on She Rose Radio. I'm Carmel Holt. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, when Michelle from Sub Pop sent me the record, she was like, well, they're all really, really good, but my favorite is Change Your Mind. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks for the heads up, you know. And then we saw each other and I'd listened to the record through like several times. And I was like, yeah, but Hard to Love though. And we had like a whole throwdown about it.
They're so different. They could not be more in our meetings with Sub Pop throughout this whole time. I have so many crazy stories about this process that I could tell, but yeah. I'm not bragging when I say this, but they were like so many singles. Yeah. Like they were like the insane amount of singles. Like we can't really go wrong with it, which is not usually something that happens. Usually it's like there's one obvious song that you're going to push. And so the dialogue of going back and forth and everybody just being like, I like this one. I like this. This one, the whole release of Lose You, like, I haven't told this story yet. What happened was we were going to release something totally different. And then basically in a meeting with like 25 people on Zoom, the idea just popped up. Like, what if we did that 2 weeks before the release? We already had a video for the other thing we were going to release. And we were all just sat there and we were like, that's a good idea. Let's do it. And we ended up going out with Lose You, which within the first week had like more plays than I've ever had on anything and has like totally taken off at this point. So it's just like that was an accident and that happened.
Man, you and Sophie Allison, she's incredible. Have you ever worked with other women like this before?
I have never had anyone featured on a song before.
And she's on two, I think, right?
Yeah.
Lose You and...
And she just harmonies on Change Your Mind.
Change Your Mind, yeah.
The idea was kind of floated, and I was like, I don't know. And then I was like, who would I have? And I just think she is so incredible, and I think her writing is incredible, and I think her voice has so much charisma and is so special. And I had like reached out to her back when she was first getting started, and I was like, I love what you're doing. She was like, oh my God, this is so sick. And then I got to watch her just like blow up and just like take over the indie world. And I asked her to do it, and I was so happy that she said yes, because she doesn't owe me anything, and she's busy, and she's got way bigger and better things going on than singing on a Bully record.
Lose You from the new Bully record, Lucky For You. Alicia Bugnano is our guest today on She Rose. I'm just such a huge Soccer Mommy fan, and I'm also just a fan of women collaborating with each other, and I love to see it. I want to see that more.
The whole process has been, like, comical how much of a it's been, in like a good way.
But in a good way. And here's what I'm going to say. This is what I'm hearing sitting over here and not knowing you at all. We just met about 15 minutes ago. I'm hearing that you're relinquishing some control. You're more open. You're more playful. There's more room for these kinds of happy accidents and things to kind of spontaneously happen.
Sure.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it helps that I like love my managers and I love Sub Pop and I love the producer that I worked with and really trust them in a way where I'm just like, I'm going to make the record I want to make, be really happy with everything. And then when it comes to singles, y'all just take the lead. You know, I have like a couple that I'm like, oh, I would love for that to be there. But for the most part, I don't know what people like. I have no idea. I feel like very detached in that way. And they do this professionally and they're great at their jobs. I will be resistant for some things, but usually it's like they all have a good reason for it. And I just want to be a team player at this point. But yeah, totally different than I feel like it normally happens. Like usually it's like you would be like, this is what I want. This is how it's going to go. And I did that for a little bit. But then hearing everybody out, I was like, all right, let's just do it. If you think this is going to be the best rollout, like this whole record process has been go big or go home in every aspect of it, like with all the leaps and all the changes and everything, that it was like, this is just like on brand with the way this whole record has played out. What do I have to lose?
It's amazing, and it's so good to hear somebody in this conversation talking about feeling so comfortable, at ease, and feeling taken care of and supported.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so many stories. You know them. You've probably lived through them of the opposite of
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Can you share, would you be willing to share with us a little bit about your journey? You're here now, but did it take a while to get there? What was that process like of learning how to navigate? Oh, God, I hate this. I hate this phrase. Being a woman in music. Oh, am I going to say it?
Oh, boy. I mean, that's a lot. It's been a journey. I grew up in a place called Rosemont, Minnesota. Well, back and forth between. I lived in Chicago for a little bit, too. But from like 7th grade to when I was 18, I lived in Rosemont. And it was like a very uncool town. Nobody was in bands. I knew one band when I was a freshman, four dudes that were a senior, and that was it. Which is totally different from Nashville, because everybody's like, my dad owns Taylor Swift's studio. And like, and you're just like, okay, what the So I was a horrible student. And I understand now. I'm neurodivergent. I have really bad ADHD. And so my brain just works completely differently than like the public school system. And that's why I went to MTSU, because I had like a 2.0 and they accept anybody. But I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I'm graduating. I really want to do music. That's the only thing that I have an interest in. There was this art school that you could take electives at my senior year if you were in the public school. And there was an engineering class. And I was like, this is it. And it basically became my home. Like, I just skipped all my other classes and was there all the time, really close with the teacher. And he pointed me towards MTSU because he was like, listen, you can get in there and you can study audio engineering, and that's what you want to do. And so I have him to thank for that whole thing. But I think even starting from when I wanted to do music, not coming from a family that had any music background or had any idea what it was and was like, what are you talking about? You want to do music? Are you kidding me? Like, from that point on, I just had this mentality that if I'm going to do it, I need to do everything myself and I need to have no excuses because no one's going to do this for me. And from that point in high school, I was like, if I want to be a musician, I know it sounds crazy. It's super laughable. Everybody is like, that's never going to happen. And then I was like, I need to know how to engineer. So I have no excuse to not make records. So that's why I went into engineering. And then when I got there, I just started playing with people. This is actually so wild, but I wanted to do a music theory minor, but that was very complicated. So there was this other music minor that you could get. Anyway, long story short, I had no music theory. And I had a teacher who told me, she was like, you need to drop out. You have no music theory. You are never going to graduate. I had multiple teachers tell me that. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to do that. Like, that's why I'm here. And I met with this one teacher who I loved. And she was like, if you help me write songs, I will go after class and teach you music theory. So her and I would meet after class and she would sit down with me at the piano and teach me everything. But just my whole journey was like, and then engineering and being the only woman in my classes, I was like, do it myself. And then when I got going and I started Bully, it was like, I'm going to make these records myself. So I think 50% of that is just coming from a place where I never would have thought I was going to be able to do that. The other percent of that is being like the only woman and all these things and knowing that I don't learn from observing things. The only way I learn is if I'm physically doing anything, which was a huge reason why I studied the analog tape machine. Made so much more sense to me because Pro Tools replicates like a tape transport, but we learn on Pro Tools. So there's this massive disconnect. And once I got around the tape machines, I was like, oh, I'm like physically watching this happen. This makes a lot of sense to me. And even that was a cheat because that was a master's class for people getting their master's. And I met with that teacher and studied tape machines under him. And he like let me into that 2-week program that I wasn't supposed to be in. Basically, all my education is like a fluke in me being like passionate enough to wanting to make it happen and meeting few people along the way that were like, I see that you really care about this and I want to help you. And that overpowered all the people who were like, what are you doing? Like, you're never going to be able to make this happen. So I will take good people over money any day, all day, every day. And I think that is a big reason of why I'm here now and working with the people that I work with, because that's not the case off the bat. And so I feel really fortunate that I was able to kind of figure that out and be like, it is so important to surround yourself with supportive people. And that is how you're able to really feel good about what you're doing.
We have Alicia Bognano here, Bully, on She Rose Radio. The new album is called Lucky For You. Let's go to music. What do we want to play next?
Let's play All I Do.
Yes, the lead track. Okay, we haven't talked lyrics yet. Is there anything you want to share with us about this song before we go into it?
Yeah, I'm 4 years sober on October 30th. And so that was actually, it was the first song I wrote on this record cycle, which is crazy that it stayed on the record because that almost never happens. And the vocals for that, I just did in my demo room with like a 58, never thinking that they would change. And JT and I felt, he just was like, we got to keep these vocals. Like, there is so much feeling in these. We got to keep them. So it's just, that never happened. So it's really funny that those are like the actual demo vocals that stayed on this track. That is now the first track of this record. But that song was about kind of learning how to live in the same city where you're driving past all these old triggers, you know, places where really dark things happening. And just there's so many things about stopping drinking that are, I feel like, I don't really have a lot of conversations about, but in a way, it's like you're totally relearning how to live life. And a lot of things change. You lose a lot of friends who weren't really your friends if you're losing them because you're at bars. And for me personally, I couldn't go to bars for a long, long time. I still don't go to bars because it was just, it's too much. And I drink a lot of times to ease my social anxiety. And so definitely not my place to hang out. I'm like a one-on-one porch hang, yeah, for yeah, sure. Yeah. That's my vibe. But I can't believe I just said that's my vibe, but I said it and it's over. Yeah, so that song was basically like learning how to live in the same city that I had been in forever, but as a totally new person and just trying to navigate all the feelings and emotions and the isolation that comes with stopping drinking. And for me, it changed my life in a lot of ways, but it was very difficult to like be in that same house and drive past all those places and re-find myself and my place there as a different person. Yeah, I could talk about stopping drinking forever because I feel like I don't get to have that conversation a lot, but there are just so many.
You can.
Cool. Yeah, there's just like the relearning how to, you know, you're like, okay, I don't go out anymore. That's all I knew to do, especially touring. That's all I did. It was like I would drink as soon as I got to the venue, before I played, after I played. Then I would come back in town from being gone for like 3 months and I would just feel like a tornado. And that was the one thing that was familiar to me. That was immediately what I would do because it was comfortable and it was what I was used to. And taking all that away and just reevaluating, like, being kind of insecure about it, like, no one's going to want to hang out with me. Like, everyone's going to think I'm a wet blanket or whatever. And just trying to find, like, who are the two people that I can have come over in the afternoon and have actual conversations with about stuff that matters with substance versus being out drinking and just, like, repeating yourself over and over again. And yeah, the friends thing is huge. And then the relearning to be in social situations after you've used that as a crutch in so long is still really, it's a struggle for me. Like, it's still very it's still stressful, but you kind of just have to accept. You're like, okay, well, I can't drink anymore. It's not an option. Very dangerous. I want to hurt somebody. I want to hurt myself. So you just kind of like pick your battles. And there's all these periods of time that you're going through where you're just like, is my life boring now? You know, like, what is it? And this is the last thing I'll say about it. But, well, first of all, I'll say always worth it, 1,000% worth it, especially if you struggle with mental health. It changed so much for me. It took the weight from being 200 to like 75 that I carried on my shoulders. But everyone has a different relationship with it. The crazy part about not drinking as a musician is people will ask all the time in interviews, do you feel like since you stopped drinking, your art is going to be compromised? And that narrative needs to change because the whole romanticizing that, particularly with rock and roll and being, you know, just like a show of a person that is then entertaining for people to watch. I actually thought in my head, I was kind of paranoid because I was like, oh my God, like what if it does? And it made it more difficult for me for sure because a lot of times, a lot of songs that I wrote were when I felt my worst from the guilt and shame that came with drinking. And then I realized, no way, like, stop this train of thought. This is not a thing. If anything, everything has gotten so much better. My writing has gotten so much better. I'm way more present. I'm challenging myself way more. I feel better. And so I can't push that enough for all these people who think just any art in general is accentuated or only due to you being in terrible mental health or like an alcoholic. You know, it's just not the case. Like, if this is what you want to do, Jason Isbell said something. It was a quote from somebody. I don't know who it was, but basically he was just like, writing, depending on drinking, is for amateurs. Like, if you're serious about what you do it regardless, no matter what, all the time. That's not going to stop you. When I read that, I wish I knew the exact quote, but I was just like so happy to see that. I was like, he's right. This is not dependent on how messed up I'm getting. Like, this is totally separate from that. Yeah, I just can't push that enough because that whole narrative needs to change. That is so toxic. It is so toxic, especially for people seriously struggling. So I want to go on the record saying, do it. I support you. You will come out the other end a better person for sure. And your art is going to get even better. And I can promise you that. So if you're thinking about it, do it. You're going to feel better.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bully's here with us on Shiro's. The new album is called Lucky For You. Gosh, where do we go next?
We are getting deep. We have covered so much.
When you create the space, that's what happens.
Exactly.
I had a conversation with Tegan and Sarah a little while ago, and they were saying, we're like borderline stalkers now, where we start like reaching out on social media to like every female artist that we love and queer artist to just let them know, like, we're here, we see you, we love you.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to connect with many other women? Has that been a meaningful thing for you in your path?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. If I am working with or like touring with all women, which is actually mostly all the time now, I will always make a point to be like, here's my number. If you need anything, call me and we will talk about everything that's going on. And more than not, I will get a call that's like, what's up with this? What's going on with this? And we just dish. And I do feel like there is this community where it's like, there is a lot of people that I could trust to be like, what's up with this manager? What's going on with this manager? What's up with working with this person? Is this producer cool? And all this like inner dialogue support system where I feel like that has gotten me through so much.
The whisper network.
Yeah, the whisper network of just awesome. Like having each other's backs.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's like most of who I'm like in touch with and talk to is my friends are just people from that. With a lot of the people I know, it feels like a very safe space where it's like, let's dish. If anyone were to tell me anything, I'm a vault. You can trust me with it. I'm never going to repeat it. I'm going to tell you my honest opinion. And I feel like I get that back from a lot of the people I talk to in those situations, which is just really cool to be able to feel like you can do that and be open and honest and know that someone's not going to go talk about it or whatever. So,
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and giving back, being the change you want to see, like what you didn't have when you were coming up, giving that to others is so huge. By the way, can I give people your number for production? I was so excited to see on your website, it's not just tour and music and videos. You have a section that's production, your production credits, and I think you did a Mountain Goats record and what other stuff have you been working on? Anything you can talk about?
No, okay. Not really.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But I do hear that a lot. Like, man, there's not enough women behind the boards. There's not enough women producers and engineers, and it'd be awesome to be like, you should ring up Alicia.
Yeah, totally.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. That's good. It's been so fun to have you here. This time is just totally flown. Before we wrap up, can we do the Shiro's Magic Wand thing?
Yes.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Alicia, I bestow upon you the Shiro's Magic Wand. With it, you can change anything for women, non-binary folks in music. If you could change anything, what would that be?
I would just say equal respect and no judgment across the board. Like never looking at somebody and assuming where they're at or their skill level or what they bring as a person based off of how they look or whatever. Just a judgment-free, supportive playing field is equal for everybody. That would be my thing if there was no such thing as someone having the upper hand.
I think that's a good answer.
Judgment-free.
That's a great answer.
Okay, cool.
Want to pick a track to take us out today?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite? I know that's so hard. Or something that's super meaningful to you?
I mean, A Wonderful Life is really meaningful to me.
Want to tell us why that came to mind?
No. It's sad.
Okay. All right, we'll leave it at that. With thanks to Alicia Boniano. Thank you so much for being with us on Shiro's.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations once again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Many thanks once again to Alicia Boniano for being with us. The fourth Bully album, Lucky For You, is out now on Sub Pop Records. Catch Bully out on their U.S. tour now through the end of October. Next, we close the hour with a couple more Shiro birthdays when Shiro's Radio continues. And you roll that sound, my mind. I know you wouldn't leave me behind. So I'm here to the end.
This one is for all my Spanish speakers out there. ¿Sabías que aquí en el SoCal Sound, cada noche desde las 10 p.m. puedes encontrar una mezcla de música en inglés y en español? Yo soy Byron González y yo tengo un programa llamado Sonidos Bilingüe, donde les traigo una hora de música alternativa en diferentes idiomas. Una mezcla muy ecléctica y muy divertida que pienso que sí les van a gustar. Don't forget, listen to Bilingual Sounds with Byron the Curator every night of the week, starting at 10 p.m. right here at 88.5 The SoCal Sound and on demand at thesocalsound.org.
It's Shiro's Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt. The jazz musician, composer, band leader, and spiritual leader, Alice Coltrane, would have been 86 on Sunday the 27th. From her sixth album, Journey to Sachinanda, here's Stopover Bombay. We'll be right back. From the new album by Michelle and DeCicello, the Omnicord Real Book, that's Vuma. She was born a year before Journey to Sachinanda was recorded, and she turns 54 on Tuesday the 29th. Check out my recent conversation with Michelle and DeCicello on the She Rose podcast. That does it for this week's show. Thanks so much for hanging out and tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. She Rose Radio is produced by me and is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast featuring our She Rose interviews on the Talkhouse Podcast Network, available everywhere. And stay in touch. Visit SheRoseRadio.com. I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at She Rose Radio on Instagram and Twitter. And until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.
88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1, Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1, Mission Viejo. A service of California State University, Northridge, and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.